Jesus. That's the sweetest name I know. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you all. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for this time that we have together today. We thank you, Father, for your presence here in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the living word that you have brought to us today, Father. We open our hearts to receive. We thank you, Father, that your arms are always open to teach us. That you just say, come right on in, come boldly on in and fellowship with me. That is your heart's cry. That is your desire. So, Father, today we come to you. We come to you because you are and because you've invited us in. But we come, Father, not with our own righteousness, but we come, Father, just as we are. You are the one that made us right, so we're righteous. And you are the one that qualified us, so, Father, we're qualified. And we thank you so much, Father, that you set your love up on us first. So, Father, we take this moment today and say we set our love upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, you have to do that. It's like you have to sometimes just trust God. You know what that means? Sometimes you have to voice that. I trust you, Lord. And then mean business when you say it. Well, you also have to set your love upon him. You take a moment and set your love upon the Father. That's not our message today, but it's involved. Praise God. If I can get this thing to work here. Praise God. There we go. Okay, praise the Lord. Upside down. How about that? The whole world's upside down, isn't it? So my message might as well be upside down. Well, we're going to talk about a subject that we all face. We all face fear, and we all face faith. One or the other is working all the time in our lives. You know, we have to come to the place where we realize that Satan cannot do anything to us at all apart from fear. He has to have fear to operate. He can't operate any other way. But it's the same way with God. God has to have faith for him to do anything for us. Now, the two are dynamically opposed to each other. God is love and faith. Satan is hate and fear. They're dynamically opposed. But we're going to see as we go through our message today on faith versus fear that there's similarities. There's certain things that are alike. When you look at faith and you look at fear, they're function similar, the same similar way, but they're opposites. They're dynamically opposite, opposed to each other. But there are similarities. And as we go through this message today, we're going to look at that. 1 John 5, 18b, he who has been born of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Why? Because I'm keeping myself. How do you keep yourself? That when you keep yourself, that means you're walking the love walk. That's the only way you can keep yourself. Any other way, you're not keeping yourself. Keeping yourself means I'm maintaining myself. I'm taking care of my life. I'm filtering my life through my love walk. If I don't do that, then I'm not keeping myself. Then what happens, according to that scripture right there, if I do not keep myself, then he can touch me. And we're going to get into some things here and show you some things today of why he cannot touch us. Love, the living word, and faith are involved in everything that God does. Do you know that? He never functions in fear because there's no fear in God. He cannot function in fear. There is no fear in God. So if God is functioning, love, the living word, and faith are present. He doesn't do anything that's opposed to his word. Everything that God does lines up with his word. It always lines up with love because God is love. And it always lines up with faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the word says. Why? Because that's who God is. Fear, worry, and deception and strife are Satan's big guns, his big weapons. They are involved in everything that he does. If you see Satan functioning, there is fear, worry, deception, and strife present. If that's not present and you see love, that's God there. So it's kind of easy in a simple way. You can kind of look at your life and the things that are going around you and determine who's functioning. One or the other is functioning. always. There's never a time when one or the other is not functioning. But if fear, worry, and strife and deception is there, Satan's there. He's stirring the pot up somewhere. All fear is self-centered. All fear is self-centered. You have to be self-centered in order for fear to work. Otherwise, it will not work. All fear is self-centered. It always focuses on self. Love is other-centered. It always focuses on others. So it's focused on others, love is functioning. If you're focusing on self, fear is functioning. I'm not afraid, I'm just thinking about myself. Well, it's a form of fear. Why are you thinking about yourself? You're afraid something's going to happen. You're afraid somebody's going to take something. You got these worries and concerns going on all the time. You're constantly self-centered. You're not other-centered. If you wind up being other-centered, if you focus on others, fear leaves. Fear will leave because you're focused on others. God takes care of you if you focus on others. All fear is self-centered. It always focuses on self. Love is other-centered. It always focuses on others. Whenever our focus is on ourselves rather than others, we have the foundation necessary to produce iniquity and sin. The foundation of iniquity and sin opens the door for fear to function in our life. That's why it's so unwise. It's wrong for you to be afraid. It's wrong for you to be other or self-centered. If you're self-centered, you're opening the door for fear to work. You're opening the door for strife to work. You're opening the door for envy to work. All of these other things will work because you're self-centered. They got more than I have. They're bigger than I am. They're thought better than I am. You know, being self-centered is dangerous. It opens the door for the works of the flesh. And that's where Satan operates the best. But if we're other-centered, the opposite works. Faith moves God. Why? Because faith is in God. Fear moves Satan because fear is in Satan. Now, why did I put it that way? We need to think of it this way. If I'm working in faith, that draws the things of God. That draws the spiritual life. It draws the things of God to me because I'm walking in faith. But if I'm walking on fear, what am I drawing to me? I'm drawing the works of the flesh. It's like a magnet. I'm going to be one way or the other. But faith moves God because faith is in God. If I'm going to move God, I'm going to have to be in faith. I'm going to have to walk a faith life. I'm going to have to, or I can't move God. But I can move Satan because I'm operating in fear. What happens? The demons run to that, and they'll help you with it. He don't need any help. Fear does not come from God. There is no fear in God, for God is love. I need to remember that. Fear does not come from God. Can we say that together? Fear does not come from God. Amen. Now, y'all got it, right? Fear does not come from God. If I'm walking in fear, God didn't give it to you. He can't give you something he don't have. There is no fear in God. Fear does not come from God. There is no fear in God, for God is love. Fear comes from Satan, for Satan is fear. 1 John 4:16, God is love, so that settles it. He's the being love. So if it's coming from God, it's coming because it's love-based. It has to be coming from love if God is there. God is love. That's all he can do. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. That says it right there. There is no fear in love. God is love. There can be no fear in love. Hallelujah. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Then that doesn't mean that you have to be perfect before fear will leave. It means perfected love. Fear, love under perfection, love being perfected. I'm focused on love. I'm focused on love. I'm focused on love. I'm focused on love. We'll find out why later. Isaiah 54:14 says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Now that God said that. I didn't say it. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. So we tie oppression and fear together there. and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble. Some says they shall surely gather together. But not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. When you're walking the love walk, they'll fall for your sake. Love and fear cannot exist together. Do you know that? You cannot be in faith and fear at the same time. You're in faith or fear. You're in love or hate. You're in one or the other. You're in worry or hope. But you can't function both at the same time. They're dramatically opposed to each other. Love and fear cannot exist together. They are direct opposites. 2 Corinthians 1:7, which is one of Brother Eldon's favorite scriptures. He says it all the time in Bible study. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. But, don't you love the word but? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So then it couldn't have come from God then, could it? Fear does not come from God. And I need to settle that. If I'm functioning in fear, it did not come from God. It come from Satan, for he is the father of fear. He is fear. Okay, but he gave us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. If you're having difficulties with your mind, that's a scripture you can lay claim to. If you're having difficulties with mental issues and problems and things like that, you can say that right. You can grab hold of this, and you can declare it. God has not given me a spirit of fear. He's not given me a spirit of oppression. He didn't give that to me. God gave me a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. So I receive this spirit of power and love and sound mind, and I call it up in my life, and oppression, I cast you out of my life. You have a right to do that. You're a believer, aren't you? Amen. If you're a believer, then believe. That's what the word says. You know, a lot of our problem is we don't believe this. Even born again, even spirit-filled people don't really believe it. Otherwise, we'd be living a different life. You know, Pastor said it earlier, this word is absolute truth. It cannot be changed. But it's how I focus on it, what I do with this word. If I say, well, I don't understand how that's going to work, therefore, that can't be right. Maybe God meant something else. No, it's not going to work for you. But if you grab a hold of that word and say, well, that's what it says. I believe every word of it. I don't understand it. I don't have to. But God said it, therefore it's true. God loves us so much. He gave us this big book so that we could understand his ways. They're all in there. Satan's ways are in there too. So if we dig in it, we'll find out who's what and who's functioning. But if we don't ever get in it, but if we don't get in here, how can I know what it says? How can I stand on it? How can I be anchored in it if I don't get in there? That's my fault, not God's. Oh, God, please help me here. Here's the book. You know, he's not going to do anything other than the book. The book has it all. You know, Satan has been 100%, 100% defeated. Amen. He's defeated. He has nothing. The only thing he has is deception. And if he's functioning, deception is there. Now, he is a master at it. You can think you got this whole thing wrapped up, and all the time you're being deceived. This book settles it. If I open up this book and I see what it says, then I can anchor it. I can anchor my life there. But if I don't, deception can function. And he's a master at it. If you're being angry and everything else, or you're having trouble with something, and they say, well, I can't do anything. Then you figure out how to do it, and you really say, okay, well, I can handle that. I can do that. Then what does he do? He comes along and says, oh, yeah, you can. You can do that? You've got it all down pat, man. You just go right like you're doing it. What had he done? He just deceived you. You can't do nothing without God. You know, you have to have your dependence upon him and nothing else. But if you depend on yourself to do it, you're going to fail somewhere along the line. It's just that way. But if I open up this book and I grab a scripture and a promise, and that's what it says. So I anchor that. When doubt comes up, I go right back to that scripture. Jesus did it that way. He said, for it is written. For it is written. For it is written. That's what we're supposed to do. For it is written. How can you say, for it is written, if you don't know what's written? You can't do that. You can say the word, but it don't mean nothing. But when you're fighting a spiritual fight, and you stand in the face of Satan and say, for it is written, and you declare what you're standing on, he can't do anything about that. He's absolutely helpless where the word's concerned. He has to move you away from it. That's all he has, folks. If you're standing on the word and you mean business and you believe that word, he can't change it. Blood's been shed for that. He cannot change the living word of God. He knows it. The only thing he can do is convince you to work with him. He will present a deception of some kind to you, and you'll cooperate with it, and then you've just automatically moved away from the word. Now he can work. You move from being spiritually minded to carnally minded. And if he can move you over there, the other thing he has to get you away from is the love walk. He has to get you away from there. If you refuse to move, he can't do anything. Perfect love casts out fear. Yes, amen. I talked about this a few weeks ago, but it's the same way. I talked about a light. Light does not struggle. It does not get in there and push light, push darkness away. Turn the switch on. So remember, love is the same way. Love does not have to force darkness away. It doesn't have to. It just is. But darkness will stay if I allow it. I'm the one that determines that. I'm the one that determines light. I'm the one that determines darkness. I'm the one that determines faith. I'm the one that determines fear. Amen. One or the other's working. If I'm walking in faith, fear has to leave. They're dynamically opposed. And I am the one that decides, am I walking in faith, am I walking in fear? But how can I even know which is which if I don't spend enough time to study the differences in the two? I may be walking in fear and not know I am. So what we're going to do today, I'm already gone for this, but what I'm going to try to do today is to make these different points about faith. We're going to concentrate on faith, and then we're going to look at how fear operates there, or if it operates. What are the differences? What are the similarities? And some of these may surprise you. So like I said, faith moves God because faith is in God. Fear moves Satan because fear is in Satan. Faith does not come from God. There is no fear in God, for God is love. Fear comes from Satan, cannot come from anywhere else, for Satan is fear. Love and fear cannot exist together. They are direct opposites. And I've already read 2 Timothy 1:7. God is love, period. God is light, period. And God is faith. Well, Satan is hate, Satan is darkness, and Satan is fear. That's the only place they come from. Faith is a spiritual force. Fear is a spiritual force. They're both spiritual forces. They are directly opposite each other, but both are governed by spiritual laws. And I need to know which law is operating. Faith is governed and operates by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's where faith operates. It operates right there and nowhere else. Faith is governed by and works by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Fear is governed by and works by the law of sin and death. Both are laws. The one is a higher law than the other law. By default, because of Satan's fall, by default, the law of sin and death operate in this world. Where did it originate? It originated way back there before time existed. It originated way back there where Satan said, I'm going to exalt my throne above yours. That's where fear started. Fear started right there. That's where the law of sin and death started. That's where it's, if you want to know a starting place, that's it. And it's been functioning ever since. We have not been delivered from the law of sin and death. We've been delivered from the law. And that came along with Moses. Although we've been delivered from the law of sin and death, by the cross. But we can still function there. We can still function in that law of sin and death, even though we're born again and delivered from it. We can still do that. That's our choice. So, one of the others working all the time. The law of faith in Christ Jesus, the law of life in Christ Jesus, that law is functioning, or the other law is functioning. But if I'm not functioning in the spiritual law, the law of life in Christ Jesus, that's not where I'm functioning, not spiritually minded, that's not where I'm walking my life at, then the other one's automatically in place. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus functions in the spirit realm. The law of sin and death functions in the natural realm. They function in two different places, governed by two different laws, but they're both governed by laws. I need to know that. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. It says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the condemnation follows whether I'm walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, one point, and who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's a higher law. I'm free from that lower law, but I can still walk in it. Because it's default. Have you ever gotten mad, Eldon? Have you ever said words you probably shouldn't have said? Yes. Well, he's born again. That was a law of sin and death functioning, right?
I had to repent.
You had to repent. Now the law of sin and now the law of life in Christ Jesus started functioning because he repented. God made provision for that. I can still murder somebody. Even though I'm born again, I'm filled with the Spirit, I love God, but I can go out and murder somebody. I can do that. God's not going to keep me from doing it. He's going to suggest I don't, and he's going to be right there with me trying to keep me from doing it, but I can do it. Because it's a law of sin and death. It's in this world. We can't escape it. It's here. But that's not where we belong. We're supposed to be living our life according to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's our place. We're supposed to live there all the time. I can't do it and be carnally minded at the same time. So let's go to Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Who made that choice? I did. I make the choice. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I choose which one I want. God's not going to make me choose. He's not going to do it. Now, the devil wants me to choose the law of sin and death. But the fact is, if I don't choose the law of life in Christ Jesus, the other one's already chosen. I don't have to choose that one. It's out there. It's like you don't, if I say you got two choices, you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior or not. No, there's only one choice, Jesus. The other one's already been made. You can't do anything about that one. That one was made a long time ago by Adam. Law of sin and death started operating in man. It was already here, but Adam chose it. So it's operating. It will operate unless I come along and choose Jesus. Amen. It has a right to operate. I'm going straight to hell if I don't choose Jesus. No matter what religion I think I believe in, I'm going to hell if I don't believe Jesus. I have to make him my Lord and Savior. That's the only way I can get in. The Holy Spirit has to come in and be in me when I get to that place, or I'm not going in there. The Spirit in me is what allows me to go into heaven. If the Spirit's not in me, I can't get through that door. I'm going straight to hell, one or the other. But I don't have to choose death. It's already here. I've got to realize that. So how am I going to function in a place that death is already here? I've got to know the difference between the two. I've got to know which is functioning, the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus or the law of sin and death. And what's my choice here? How can I move from one to the other? Okay, so to be carnally minded is death, To be spiritually minded is life and peace. I choose spiritually minded. What is being spiritually minded? It's the love walk. That's also what holiness is. If I'm walking a holy life, I am walking the love walk. It's not my hair. It's not the length of my dress. It's not anything I do or anything like that. The difference is whether I'm walking the love walk or not. The love walk determines whether I'm walking a holy life or not. It determines my faith. It determines whether I'm spiritually minded. If I'm not walking the love walk, I'm not spiritually minded. It's just that simple. So what is that? It leads to death. Don't want that. Faith is God's creative power. We find that in Hebrews 11:3. By faith, all the way through that book, all the way through that chapter. By faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are not seen, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So, faith. God framed the worlds, framed the universe, framed all of creation in heaven or in eternity and inside time. It was all framed by faith. God's faith attached to the Word brought forth when He said it. Faith and fear make it all work. But I need to make this statement. Fear is Satan's destructive power, the way faith is God's creative power.
Right.
Who steals, kills, and destroys?
Satan.
Who brings life abundant? It's a no-brainer. Faith does not compromise, but fear demands compromise. They both function with compromise. One will not compromise. Faith will not compromise the Word. No matter what's going on, it stays steady. It does not compromise. Fear demands compromise. If Satan can deceive a believer into compromise, the believer's faith will become doubt, unbelief, worry, and fear, and they'll fail. But he's got to move them away from faith. He's got to get them to compromise. One minister says, what you compromise to keep, you're going to lose.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is. You never compromise the Word.
Hallelujah.
You don't compromise it. If that's what it says, that's what it says, whether I understand it or not, whether I ever see it or not, doesn't matter, the Word's truth. I may not know why I'm not seeing it. I may not understand how it functions. I don't need to know how it functions. All I need to do is believe. If I stay solid on that Word, there's going to be a manifestation. But if I compromise the Word because of somebody around me or what somebody's going to think, I can't compromise that. I can't go certain places. I can't do certain things. No matter whether it looks okay or not, I can't do it. I can't compromise there because I know better. God shows me that sin is sin. I can't compromise where sin is concerned just to please somebody around me. Faith does not compromise, but Satan wants you to. To a person who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, faith which works by love is a natural, normal way of life. A believer who does not walk the love walk and live by faith is abnormal. As far as God is concerned, if you're not walking the love walk and not walking by faith, you are abnormal. If you're His child. Now, if you're not His child, if you're not a believer, fear and worry and strife, that's all normal for you. It's part of who you are. You may not function in those particular areas, but you're functioning carnally. It's normal for you not to believe. It's normal for you not to want to go to church. That's normal. Why? Because that's normal. You're functioning under the law of sin and death. You're not born again. You're not alive in your spirit. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, it's abnormal for you not to come to church.
Right.
It's abnormal for you not to walk in faith. It's abnormal for you not to love because you're born of love. You're a love creature. So you're supposed to be loving. If you're not, if you have hate, fear, and worry, and depression, and anger, and all this stuff working in your life, and you say you're a born-again believer, you need to check up on your love walk. Perfect love casts out fear, and those are all fear-based. if you're not going to do something with it, if you're not going to get into the Word and lay claim to the truth that's in this Word and believe it, then that has a right to function. I don't like to hear that it's my fault, but it is. If it's functioning and I'm born again, I can pity-pat somebody and say, oh, you poor thing, and I know you were born that way, and your mother was that way, and your dad was that way. So it runs. Being mad and angry all the time just runs in your family. But that's not the family I'm from anymore.
Amen.
I'm born again. I was born again October the 4th, 1981. Since then, from that point forward, my relationships all cancel back there. They're not influencing me anymore. I've got a whole new set of genes. I got a whole new life here. I'm born again. I know my bloodline runs all the way back through the cross to Adam, to God himself.
Amen.
That's where my bloodline is. So even if I was born into that kind of family, and by the way, I was, I don't function there anymore. That's not who I am anymore. I have a right to function in love. God's given me a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That's what he's given me. Now, before that point, it was normal for me to be angry all the time. It was normal for me to be self-centered. That was normal. But when I got born again, now it's not normal. It's abnormal. So just check your life. If you're functioning in fear, anger, worry, depression, self-centeredness, and all of that, and you genuinely gave your heart to Jesus, I'm not questioning your salvation, but you're functioning where you're not supposed to be functioning, you need to check on your love walk. One of those points is to think the best of every person. Take no account of a suffered wrong. If you're busy taking offense at people, then you're not functioning in love. You're not walking the love walk. See, you have to correct that. You have to correct it. And if you're not born again, well, you're functioning right where you're supposed to be functioning. But you can change that. Get born again. To a person who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, fear is a normal way of life. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you are born of God, you're born again, you're a love creature. You're supposed to be walking in love. So correct yourself. Jesus is the author and developer of faith. Hebrews 12:2. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we find that Jesus is the finisher of our faith, it says here in the New King James, but others say the developer. King James says developer of our faith. Either one is correct. He's finishing it. He's bringing it to a finish. He's bringing it from where I was before. As long as I walk with him and I have faith in him, he's developing me and bringing me to a finished product that is likened to the Son of God. He wants me to walk in love, and that's where he's bringing me to. He does that. But fear is the substance of things not desired. Notice they're both substances. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Fear is the substance of things not desired. Isn't it? Why are you afraid of it? Do you want it to happen to you? No. So fear is the substance of that. As long as I'm functioning in fear, I'm developing that. I don't want to develop it. But I don't understand how fear works. Fear is faith. It functions in the same way that faith does. If I'm functioning in fear towards something, then I'm applying my faith to that because I believe it's going to happen. Don't you?
Yeah.
Otherwise, why are you afraid of it? You're confessing it. You're talking about it all the time. You're afraid of that. So because you're afraid of it, you're voicing it. You're declaring it. You're building your own problem, and you don't know you're doing it. Eventually, you're going to have a harvest because you're declaring it. You're functioning in fear. And who are you? You're a believer. You're born again. You got born again. You're a believer. So whatever you are believing, that's going to function. And even if you're not born again, you're still a believer. You're believing something. So you are functioning in fear because you have faith that that thing's going to hurt you. That's why you're doing it. So what do you do about that? You get into the Word and find out what the Word says about it, and now you start believing that. It'll take a little work to change your pea brain, but you have to do it. Every time that fear starts jumping up there, no. For it is written. Pardon? That's what you got to do. You are the only one that can refuse it. If you don't refuse it, it will function. God will not make it not function. He will not do that. He will honor what you say and what you do. He'll back up what you do. If you reject it, if you refuse the thought, he'll back that.
Yes.
But if you don't refuse it and you allow it to function, he'll back that. Because you have a free will. God honors your free will. He will let you do and be whatever you want to be. It's up to you. He will not override your free choice. So, Jesus is the author and developer of our faith. Satan is the author of fear, developer and author of fear. Satan is hate the way and fear the way God is love and faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Fear is the substance of things not desired. Faith is an action word. Fear is also an action word. They both are action words. If you have faith, you're applying it to something. There's a movement going on. You apply your faith to the word's developing. Your faith and the word are going out there to hope, and patience brings them together. The same way with fear. Fear is an action word. It's functioning on what you're worrying about. There's an action taking place there. You are applying fear to worry. So worry develops whatever you're afraid of. You're developing it. Worry takes the place of hope. That's the way it's functioned by the same law. Faith applied to the word. That's where your faith goes. It doesn't go anywhere else. You can't apply faith to the future. You don't apply it to the circumstance. Faith only goes to the word. And then the word and hope develop whatever you're praying for. If you apply your faith to the circumstance, you're skipping a point. You don't have the word applied. That may confuse some people, but it's very simple. Faith is applied only in the now to the word. That's the only place you apply faith. Hope then immediately jumps out there. The minute you apply faith to the word, hope springs forth and it goes out there where it's supposed to be in the future. Now faith and the word anchor to the hope. The hope becomes the beacon. The hope becomes the developer. Because you got faith on the word, they're working together. They're connected to hope. Patience joins the two. If you don't have all four of those, you're going to fail. Faith cannot bring a future thing to pass unless it does it by the word. God only works through the word. Whatever he does through the word. That's why he says, speak to your mountain. Because it's your words of faith going in the now at that mountain that the mountain has to obey. So hope is the developer of the blueprint. And it only functions in the future. It can't function in the now. It's impossible for faith to function in the future. It don't belong in the future. Faith on the word in the now joined to hope in the future. And that's automatic if you really applied your faith. Then you allow patience to continually develop whatever you're hoping for. But you got to keep your faith functioning on the word and the word functioning on the hope. But it's along that process to manifestation, Satan is going to try to pull you away.
Therefore, you have to just trust God daily.
Daily. You have to do it. Every now moment you reestablish and thank God that it's working. Declare that word. Continue to declare it. Continue to declare it. Continue to set your faith on that word. Every now moment to manifestation. It'll come to pass. Because it works that way. Fear is exactly the same way. Fear works with worry to develop the circumstance. If you control fear with faith, faith can function. But when are you afraid of something? In your now, because it's right there. Faith or fear is always focused in the now. Worry is not in the now. You're worried about something because it's in the future. That's why you worry about it. If it was right here, you'd see it. You wouldn't be afraid of it no more. Most of the time, what you're worried about doesn't mean anything. But worry functions in the future, fear in the now. Together, they bring forth manifestation. That's why Satan works on your worry all the time. He wants you to worry because you're developing something. You are building something because you're worried about it. Same exact laws. If you want what you're afraid of, then continue to worry about it because you will have it. If you don't want that, stop worrying about it. Get in the Word and start declaring the Word. Get your faith and hope working. Don't just say, God, please deliver me. He already has. That cross already happened. He already put His Word out there. He didn't give us a big book to go by. You know, He's already done all. He's done everything He can do. Now He's waiting on us. And if I don't apply my faith to the Word and let hope work, I'm not going to succeed. It's just not going to work. So, faith acted on produces the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Fear acted upon produces the law of sin and death. Faith is always now. Fear is always now. Both can only operate in the now. We must stay in our now moment, seeking first the kingdom of God with our faith applied to the living Word. Satan will always try to get us to worry about a circumstance or a problem in our now moment. Worry in our now moment will develop fear, moving us away from our now faith. That's the goal. If he can get you to worry, he's pulled you away. You're no longer spiritually minded. So be aware. Don't worry, because it's actually hope. And the only way you cannot worry is to have an anchor. And that's in God's Word. If you're not wanting to go to God's Word and anchor your faith in the Word, you're going to wind up worrying. You're going to wind up fearing, and you'll have exactly what you're afraid of. That's what Job says. What I feared the most has come upon me. He was developing it. You always develop what you're afraid of. So that's why you're afraid of it. Satan wants you to do that. Well, don't cooperate with him. Faith is always applied in the now, to the Word, not to the circumstance or problem. Fear is always applied in the now to the circumstance or problem. One is not applied to the circumstance or problem, one is. Faith is always applied to the Word, not the circumstance. Fear is always applied to the circumstance. That's because he wants you to develop that circumstance. Okay. Faith and hope work together, bringing forth manifestation. Fear and worry work together to bring forth manifestation. Faith applied to God's Word and acted upon becomes hope, absolute earnest expectation. That's what hope is, leading to the manifestation of the desired results hoped for. Fear applied to Satan's deceptions and acted upon becomes worry. Worry then becomes doubt and unbelief, leading to the manifestation of what was feared. Faith works by love, Galatians 5:6b. Faith worketh by love, King James. New King James says faith working through love. Same thing. Your faith works by love. That's why you have to watch your love walk. It's number one priority. If you are self-centered, you need to change it. You cannot afford it. The cost is too high. You have to become other-centered first. Walk the love walk. Part of it, as I said, is think the best of every person, take no account of the suffered wrong. Practice that. Think the best no matter what they do. Because your faith is at stake. That's what's at stake. Your faith and your ability to stand on the Word, your ability to have your prayers answered, is based on your love walk. All of your weapons work by that. If you're not walking the love walk, your spiritual weapons will not work. They won't work because faith won't work. And they're all dependent on faith. So if you leave here with anything today, remember, walk the love walk. If you don't know what that is, we'll help you with that. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Get the Amplified Classic. If you don't have one, we'll print it out for you. But those are the points that you need to gauge your life by. Walk the love walk at all costs, no matter what you do. If you don't, your faith won't work. It's just that simple. You'll get mad at God or wonder why it's not working. And all the time you were mad at somebody down the road there. All the time you had bitterness and envy in your life. All the time you're mad at something that happened 15 years ago. Yeah. You know, even if you were right in your opinion, you're automatically wrong because you didn't love. When you don't love anyways, you're automatically wrong. No matter, your opinion doesn't matter. It's how you treated the person that matters. Faith works by love, period. Case closed, exclamation point. That's an absolute truth. If you're not doing it, then there's your problem. If you have faith projects that you've been believing for, go to those scriptures, find out what it means, find out what love is, and let the Holy Spirit point out to you where you're falling short. Because He will if you want to know. And He'll also tell you how to handle it. You may not want to. You may not want to go to John Doe and forgive him. You may say, well, that person's dead. How can I forgive them? You can. You forgive them by faith, believing and trusting the Word, not your feelings. You don't do that, then your faith won't work. It's not, God's not being mean about it. It won't work because there's another law working. The law of sin and death is working because you're holding that and you don't know you're doing it. And you may know you're doing it, but not want to change it. But either way, it's crippling your faith. And it's also, more than likely, bringing sickness and disease to your body. Fear does that. It will bring sickness, disease, brings all kinds of things to your life. Fear, that's its purpose. Well, love brings life. There's a big difference in the two. Okay. Faith comes by love. Faith works by love. Faith comes by hearing. In God's living word, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Fear also comes by hearing the word of Satan in the world. They both come by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the word. That's why you get in the word. That's why you speak it. Don't mean just listen to sermons. It means you declare what it says. You take that promise, declare it, make it your own.
And as you declare it, you begin to believe it.
That's exactly right. How did you figure out the multiplication tables? The way we used to learn them, you just sit there and sit there and sit there over and over and over again. Now, we're not talking mind over matter. We're talking word over fear. But that's the way we build our spirit, man. We hear it, we hear it, we hear it, we hear it. Eventually, something will happen in our minds. You know what? I believe that. That's true. God loves me. Or whatever you're dealing with. But if you don't do that, the other's going to work. Because what do you do when somebody says, how are you doing? You usually tell them. How's your day going? Oh, you don't want to know. No. People ask me how I'm doing. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in my coming in. I'm blessed in my going out. I believe that. Now, it may not be obvious to me, but I know it's true because the Word says it is. You have to do those kind of things. If you're not willing to declare it and walk in it, then it's not going to work. It's just that simple. God makes things so simple. So faith comes by hearing. Fear comes by hearing. Faith is developed through meditating and acting on God's living Word, which is absolute truth. But I got a little secret for you. You know what I'm going to say? Fear is also developed through meditating and acting on Satan's words, which are absolute lies. You develop fear by meditating on it. That's worry's job. You're constantly thinking how mean you are, how they hurt me, how I can never succeed, how all I have is doom, despair, agony in me. You know, the old song, I guess.
Somebody done me wrong.
Wrong song, that one too. You know, we concentrate on that. Don't we? Was that Hee-Haw, I guess it was?
Yeah.
I loved old Grandpa. He was pretty cool. But I hated the song. I never have liked it. But anyways, that's what we do. If that's what we're talking about, that's what we're singing about, that's what we're looking for, that's what we're looking at, then that's what's going to happen. We're developing it. We're meditating on it. And Satan is using that to develop. He's using our own faith to fear developing that. So don't do that. Think on the things of God. Think on the Word. Sing the God Loves Me songs and things like that. And I love you, Lord. A lot of things that you can do to counteract that. But you do it in the moment that that other thing comes up. I got scriptures for all of that, but don't have time for them. She's given me the axe twice. In our church, she always did that. I don't listen to it anyways. I go to the Holy Spirit and say, shut up. Faith is applied by speaking of things that are not as though they were. Fear is applied by speaking things that are not as though they were. Both function in the same way. My fear is on a certain, a worry and fear are working on a certain circumstance or situation that I don't want to happen. So I'm meditating on it, building it. Faith is the same way. It's developed by meditating and thinking. It's going to bring that to pass. Faith applied to the word in the heart of the believer brings forth faith. Fear applied to Satan's lies and deceptions brings forth death. Again, faith applied to the abiding word in the heart. If the word does not abide in your heart, faith can't do anything with it. You have to put the word in. It has to abide. You have to protect it. But that abiding word, when faith is applied to it, it brings forth life. Fear applied to Satan's lies and deceptions brings forth death. Fear must be received before it can enter the heart of a believer and stop faith. It can't just stop faith. I have to cooperate with it. Fear is out there. But I have to believe the fear. I have to function in it. I have to agree with it. So fear must be received before it can enter the heart and stop faith. We see a little example of this in this picture here. Jump forth to the photo, if you would. I skipped a whole bunch of scriptures. In Matthew 14:30, we see this as a good example. I got this picture on the front of my phone. I love it. It's on my lock screen because it preaches to me every time I open it. You know, that's a really good picture of that circumstance. It's where Jesus had fed the 5,000, then he went up to pray and he sent the other ones across. Well, it said they would toil for hours there and a boisterous or a one says a storm of hurricane proportion, a big storm came up, okay? And they're out there rowing, and they're fishermen. They know exactly what they're getting into. They're going down, okay? That's what they think. They've been doing this all for hours. Well, the word says Jesus saw them. Well, where was he? He was on a mountain back there, but he saw them. Now, he comes walking on the water. Jesus does. And I thought, you know, wait a minute. He's walking through that storm. Why didn't he just say, peace be still, and then walk on smooth water? But he didn't. He left the storm. He left the high waves. But then the word says they thought they saw a ghost. Well, to a fisherman, there's all kinds of little myths and things that they're always, you know, sea serpents and everything else. So they got all kinds of these stories, and they see this guy. Now, nobody walks on the water, and they know that. Nobody does that. So it's got to be a ghost. So he's way away from the boat, and he's walking along there. And, you know, Peter says, well, it says they shouted for fear. They were afraid. And when they shouted, Jesus said, fear not, it's only me. But then what did Peter do? As if to say, Jesus, you're a liar. Prove it to me. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Well, what was he supposed to do? What was Jesus supposed to do? It's him, so all he could say is come. Well, I like the way Jesus didn't move towards him. He stayed where he was. And Peter got out of the boat, walked a good distance. Otherwise, he'd have been brought back to the boat. But he was a good distance away from that boat. before he noticed the waves and the wind. Then the word says, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. What got him? He was afraid. He took his eyes off Jesus. It made him afraid. He started looking at the wind. And beginning to sink, one guy said he wasn't ankle deep. I don't know how deep he was, but he knew what was happening. It was deep enough, you know. And he hollered. But then Jesus is right there and lifts him up. Now that speaks volumes to me. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord in the midst of your storm in life and watch, he'll be right there. But what did he say? He said, why did you fear? Where's your faith? You have little faith. No, I don't, or no faith yet. That's worse yet. But God, Jesus was expecting him to walk all the way out there and that they were going to walk back together. But he took his eyes off Jesus. He put his eyes on the waves. He moved from spiritually minded to carnally minded. Now, if you've got a problem with that, I don't, because he walked on the water. You haven't, and I haven't, and I don't think my faith is there yet. But I tell you what, it's possible, because a man did it. Jesus was a man walking on the water. Right in the middle of the storm, he just walked across the waves. But he didn't do that. He didn't tell the storm not to cease, be still. He didn't do that. But fear got him. Fear will get you too if you allow it to operate. Stopping fear before it enters is an act of the person's free will. We must choose faith instead of fear. We are the ones that decide which is going to be in authority in our lives. Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's got to be our attitude. I will not fear. Notice David spoke it. He didn't just think it. I'm not going to fear. No, I am afraid. No, he said it. I will not fear. My will is not to fear. And you're going to have to do the same thing. He says it in Psalm 27:1 also. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Do not take the thought. See, that's where our problem is. When the thought comes, we take the thought. What's my thought? It's not your thought. Just because you think something doesn't make it your thought. You just heard something. You might have walked into a thought. You might have seen something and a thought came. But it doesn't become your thought till you act on it. When you act on the thought, now you've bought it. So what Jesus said, don't take the thought. Don't take the thought. That's what we do. Oh, it's my thought. I guess now I'm going to hell. No, it's not your thought. Don't agree with the thought. You can cast those thoughts down. The Word says you can. That's what you're supposed to do. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now these are spiritual weapons and are talking about the mind. That's where our main battlefield is. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Notice the only fight he talked about here in this is the mind. He didn't mention anything else. Most people overlook that. He didn't say to fight Satan. He said you're fighting mental. You're fighting thoughts. Take that thought captive and cast it down. Now, if he was talking anything else, it would be there. But if he was talking about anything else other than that, he would put that in there. But he didn't. What did he say? Casting down arguments. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You bring it under the Word. The Word is a higher law. We receive what we continually look at. If you're constantly looking at fear, television or talking about fear or whatever, that's what you're going to fear. You're going to wind up functioning there. But if you're going to function by faith, you need to hear faith. You need to hear the word faith. People that, if you want to walk in love, talk love. If you don't want to walk in love, don't talk love. You're going to walk in the opposite. She can tell you probably 19 times a day or 30 or 40 or 50. I'm constantly speaking love over her. Not just for her sake, but for mine. I want it built in me. If I'm going to love her the way I'm supposed to, I have to speak it. I have to declare it. It builds it inside me. If I don't, then it's not going to build. But you need to do that if you're not. It can be to a friend or whatever. Jesus delivered us from fear. We've been absolutely delivered from fear. Fear is listed under in Deuteronomy 28. Go read that. I don't have time to read it. Deuteronomy 28, 65 through 67. The curse of the law talks about fear. And if you're not born again, if you're walking under the curse of the law, we can still walk under it if you're not born again, or even if you are. That's the curse of the law there. That's what it says about fear. And it don't look good. So go there and read that. Anything under the curse of the law in Deuteronomy, we've been delivered from it. Amen. But it doesn't mean you can't walk in it. You can still choose to walk in it even though you're delivered. Don't do that. Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He became that curse. So that curse is not there, but I can still walk in it. And if I'm not born again, I don't have a choice. I'm in it. You know, I've got to get born again. Okay, one last statement here. In this dark hour that we are living in, we must believe the love. We must believe the love that our Heavenly Father has for us. In order to walk by faith, we must believe the love. If I cannot believe the love, if I cannot walk the love walk, I cannot walk in faith. And this is not the season that we want to walk in fear. There's a lot of opportunities out there to walk in fear. More so than any other time, just turn on the news. It's absolutely horrible. But we cannot afford to agree with it. We cannot get on our political high horse and start declaring those things. We can't afford that. We declare the word. We walk in love. No matter who's in charge, no matter who's doing what, we walk in love. There's only one way to do it. You can't get a revelation any other way. You have to do, I didn't get a time to read it. But Joshua 1, God told him what to do. You meditate on the word day and night. God told him to be strong and very courageous 3 times in that little section of scripture. But he also said, you are going over there and you're going to divide these, you're going to divide the land up. Now, when did he tell him that? He told him before they had one little battle over there. They hadn't even crossed over there. But as far as God was concerned, they were already dividing the land. That's how God functions. He calls things that be not as though they were. But what did he tell Joshua? He said, you meditate in my word day and night. Then, it will go well with you and you'll prosper in whatever you do. Then, but not until you do that. And that's the way the love walk comes. The revelation that Pastor Carol's talking about will not come to you unless you do that. You get in the love word, you find love scriptures, you study love. If you can't find them, we had 49 messages on love in our Bible study over there. 49. That's a lot of 4 message months. Almost 2 years we studied just love. I got all of that. They're available on our website. Get in there, study love. And it doesn't stop at 49 messages. You never get done with that. But study it, study it, study it, study it. Read it, read it, read it. Forget anything else. Just forget it until you get that revelation. If you don't spend time to meditate on it, you will never get it. You can ask God forever for a revelation of love. It will not come till you spend time in the Word studying it. Amen. You have to do that. You study it, it will come. You pray, it will come. The lover's inside you. If you're born again, the lover's in there. If you're not willing to do that, don't expect it, because it won't come. God is love, so you got to study God. You got to study. That's the only way the revelation comes. He'll give you a little spark of something, but if you don't pursue that, you know, God wants us all to know the love. He wants to give us that revelation. He's not holding it back. God does not hold the revelation of love back. He's not doing that. He wants us to know. That's why that cross. He wants us to. But last time I talked about coming, God's heart cry was to come unto him. That's still his heart cry. If we don't come, he can't give. So if you actually want it, spend time finding out. Type in your search engine in your Bible software, love, and see what happens. And study every one of them. Spend time in them. Lay claim to them. It takes the rest of your life. You will never get done with that study, and through eternity we will not. Many of you, I think you got a book there, many of you got that. There's a love devotional I give this entire church. Mother and I bought them and paid for them, not the church. We've given about 70 or 80 of them out. And we give them to you guys because we want you to have it. We want you to have a time every day meditating in it. It takes about 5 minutes. If it takes that, we do them every day. Mother and I do, right after we eat breakfast. But we're committed to it. If you don't commit to it, you're not going to change anything. I know that's a hard word maybe for some people. If you don't have one and you want one, let us know. We'll buy it for you. It's from Kenneth Copeland, and there is no, you read it every day, don't you, Eldon? There is no stronger love devotional than that one. And we've given it to you. It's free. It don't cost you anything. There's no strings. We just want you to practice love. If you don't have one, let us know. Mother and I'll buy it for you. We want you to have it. But spend time. We're going to be studying this subject in the Bible study in detail. And I don't care how long it takes. In the future. If you really want to know some, start coming to the Bible study. We're having an awesome time. And it don't last very long, but the messages don't have an end. But anyways, I ran through that real quickly, and I skipped a bunch of the scriptures. So I apologize to you for that.